Okay.
Yep.
So we are holding. Okay, so we are holding on Psychic Owl from the base. About the eighth line, the wide line.
Okay. We've been talking about clear the main room off and on, and then in between, talking about other things as well.
Mostly about
Chase Mason, but we've been digressing each other. Okay, so now going back to Chase Mason for the moment. Robert pointed out a contradiction between two parts of a puzzle.
Siv ani omis v'achaye. Puzzle can have Zinu starts out by saying the Ibishta says, I kill and make alive, which Siv machasti v'ani erpa, and then the puzzle continues, I wound and I heal.
So what's the problem with that? Rashi says the implication of ani omis v'achaye is, I kill, I cause people to die, and I bring them back alive, still with the same movement that they had before, as they did yesterday. On the other hand, it's two halves of one pasuk in Hazim.
Mm.
So on the Omnis Machaya implies that when a person comes back to life, when they just bring them back to life, he still has the same movement as before. But then the pasuk continues, I wound and I heal, implying that they're healed of their ailment. Machasti means I wound. No, Malach and Malchus means the wound. Malchus means the wound, to make bloody, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is Omar Akash Baruch, Masha, Nimitani Machaya. That's exactly what it means. The Ebrishta says, first, whatever the ones that I kill, I bring back alive. Vahadir, and after that, Masha Machas, Ivani Erpa, after that, the one that I wounded, I heal, because as you said at the end of yesterday, the Ebrishta makes the post that the people have faith and make them post with their original movement, with their original physical defect, and afterward heals them.
This seems to be the way it's
expressed
on an ongoing basis.
So Marsha explains that actually the question is a little bit different. Not so much the question that Ami Omis Machaya implies that the person comes alive still with the woman. It's the question is, Omis Machaya is in constant tense. I do it on an ongoing basis. Mochasi is in past tense.
Right.
So why is that? Because in other words, first Ami Omis Machaya, I still... And eventually I bring back to life. That's an ongoing thing, and particularly it'll happen. But what I wounded before the person died, now after the person comes alive again, I'll heal them. By the way, Margolis Yayam, Margolis points out, this is why in Shemana Esrei, we say, Mechaya Mason Barachim Rabim, and then Vergolis Yacholim. So it goes in that order. First the Ebishah is Mechaya Mason, and then he's Vergolis Yacholim, and then he heals the ones who were sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we said. The point is that why do we have them in that order? Why did the Chachamim, when they created Shemana Esrei, why did they put it in that order? Because it represents the idea that we're saying over here, the people who are going to come back from Tzeis HaMeitim are first going to come back with their various ailments and physical defects and whatever, and then they're going to be healed from them, right? So therefore, it's in that order.
But it does represent even today.
Understood, but when we say in that bracha, Machayim Mason, Merachim Rabbim, it's talking about the fact that even after the Machayim Mason, there's going to have to be a Rosh Hashanah. That's what it means. Because of that, as we said yesterday, because the idea is this way people will recognize them, they won't think there's new people. After they come back to life, then they'll be healed of their various physical defects. Yeah. Turn it up on him. We learn it about it also on this topic. I'm on this side. When the prophet says, the Ebishter says, I kill and I make live, you would think all the prophet means is, okay, the Ebishter kills one person and then brings another person to life, creates a new baby, is born. Which is the way the world normally works. Maybe that's what it means.
Yeah.
But therefore, the prophet continues, I wound and I heal. Meaning, just as the wounding and the healing of necessity refers to the same person, because you can't heal a person unless they previously had an ailment,
so also the death and the life has to be referring to one person. From here is a refutation for those who would claim that Tchias HaMesim is not found in the Torah. There you have a pasuk that expresses it. Tanya, we learn in a brisa, another source, Amar Meir, Minayim Matchias Amesim in HaTorah, Shenema, the apostle says, Oz Yoshir Moshe of Bnei Yisrael Tashir Azayis Hashem. It says, then Moshe and Bnei Yisrael will sing that this Shira Tashem by after Kriyas Yam. So, Shorlo Nema, it doesn't say they sang, Ela Yoshir, they will sing, the kind of Matchias Amesim in HaTorah. From here you see that Matchias Amesim is in HaTorah, that not only they sang it then after Yitzias Mitzrayim, after Kriyas Yam, but they will sing it again while also loving.
Why not the Shira?
Because it means, as the Gemara mentions, the Gemara describes in Sota that Moshe started it and everybody joined in with him. Whatever, the point is, the future tense implies that it will happen in the future as well. Mefoshim point out, I mean, there are other places where the Pasuk uses a future tense as well. We're going to quote one or two of them here in the Gemara, but there are other ones where the Pasuk uses a future tense where clearly it doesn't mean the future. But here the point is that it says us.
First of all, it's something that necessarily happened only one time. It's a one-time event. But second of all, the fact that it says us between them, it was a one-time thing, together with Yoshi, the future tense, implies that it means loss of others. In Chassidus, by the way, it talks about the idea of why that's there. There's a number of Mephoshim talk about the question, why should it be hinted at specifically by Kriyas Yamsu. One interesting, before I get to the thing in Chassidus, actually, one interesting idea one of the Mephoshim says is that right after you see Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsu, when you get down to it, a lot of people, sure, they were happy we got out of Mitzrayim, we got across the Yamsu. What about our brothers and our friends and whatever who got killed in Mitzrayim?
Therefore, they needed that reassurance that there's going to be Tzeis HaMeisim. They will yet see them again. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea that Kriyas Yamsuf,
we know, is a tremendous revelation, of course, much more than there ever in the world ever seen before. It's the whole idea of what was hidden becoming revealed. In particular, you have the revelation of Shema Baya, past, present, and future altogether. Therefore, appropriately enough, the future of Tzeis HaMeisim was the rumors then.
I think actually, too, like the dressed
in the morning. I said before that they're going to come back with clothes. We discussed before we talk about that it means in the Sakharifim they would dress in, it doesn't mean the clothes they wore while they were alive. Yeah, that's two different things. Okay. Kayotse b'dava ata omer, you have a similar thing where the Pasuk says, Oz yivne Yeshua mizbeach l'Hashem. The Pasuk says, then will Yeshua build a mizbeach l'Hashem on Har Ebal. Again, bono l'nem, the Pasuk is going to say he built it, Oz yivne, he will build it. Same thing, you can't have Tzeis HaMeisim in a third. So maybe you have a proof of Tzeis HaMeisim in a third. Question is, Elamai Asa, by that logic, what are you going to say? Oh, you're using a swing of Bama, the Kamoi Shikus Maida. What about a process that says, then Shlomo will build a Bama for Kamoi, the disgusting deity of Maida? How can I be given that? Does it mean he's going to build one in the future? Lots of others. No, Elamai Asa, a cause of Tila Bama. What it means is, in that case, it means the process considers it as if he built it. Meaning that the Gemara
will build it exactly there.
Come on. No, so the Gemara discusses in Shabbos. It doesn't actually mean that Shlomo built it. First of all, the Gemara says, Shadikah Shadikah Shalibana. Shlomo maybe was thinking of doing it, but he never actually did it. What happened was his wife built such bombers and he didn't protest where he could have, and therefore the father attributes it to him. So when it comes to that, you have to say, since he himself didn't build the bombers, it's impossible that Shlomo, who was a great tzaddik, should actually build a bomber. Mind you, later on in the parish, we're going to discuss that the Anshik Nefzai Gerza thought to add Shlomo to the list of people who lost their place in El Mava, and there had to be intervention in Hashemayim to tell them you're wrong, you're misjudging him. But the point is, he obviously is not like the people in our Mishnah, Asad and Yerov and the rest of that gang. Yeah, so, but the Anshik Nefzai Gerza thought on basis of the circuit, maybe, yes. Anyway, the point is that obviously he didn't build the bomber. And he's not going to build one lost his love. Of necessity, it has to mean that he planned to build one or that the Pasuk considers it as if he built one. Whereas by Oz Yosher and by Oz Yivne Yoshua, they did sing the Shira, he did build the Mizbeach. Therefore, it has to mean that not only they did it then, they will do it again lost his love. Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, Minayim L'Tchei Sameisim in HaTorah, where is another proof for Tchei Sameisim in HaTorah? Kanema, the Pasuk says, it says three times a day, after Yosher and Sefer, happy are those who sit in your house, heard Yahalucha Sela, they will praise you, Sela. Hilalucha Lenemer doesn't say, oh, Hilalucha, they continue to praise you. Ella Yahalucha, they will praise you. You can't look at the face of the Nephilim. So there you see that not only that the Yoshua of Yosef, not only they praise you in the past, Hilalucha, but Yahalucha, they will again praise you in the future. Yoshua of Yosef is the ones who sit in your house, meaning the ones who come to shul and daven. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. They will also have this chus that they will sing to the Eivishter in the future as well. And by the way, the word oyd in Tanya, in Shari, because I don't want to point out the word oyd can mean the body, like a zamel of the type of oyd. Therefore, oyd, yeah, hallelujah, fellow can mean when they're in their bodies again, by the case of Nathan, they will praise the Eivishter again. Vam Rebbe Shalom Levi, in this connection, kala oyma shira ba'olam azeh, anybody who says and sings a shira to praise in this world, zoycha ba'olam azeh, will have the chus to again say that same shira to praise the Eivishter in the same way, in Olam Haba. So now, the same passage, Asher Yosher Rezefa, Oy Yahalucha Sela, they will yet praise you forever, so therefore they'll be able to continue praising you, the Eivishter, with the same praise that they did in Olam
Haba.
Shira means a storm. It's a passage, so I mean, primarily a shira is when you recognize how the Eivishter runs the world, and you praise the Eivishter for it, yeah.
Amr
Shihadash is a different matter. It means that it means that loss is lovely. It means that when Mashiach comes, we're going to sing a whole new kind of song that we never sang before. That's why in the Haggadah we say that the Megillah called Shihadash. But up until now, we have Shira Chadasha, like Shira Chadasha is for women, but it's in the feminine because there was going to be another Golos after it, like a woman who gives birth and is yet going to give birth again. Loss of love, it's Shira Chadasha in the masculine because there's never going to be a Golos after it. But that's bad. I'm going to pray about Abraham and Yechon. I mean, I'm a Tchet Amesim in the Torah. Where is it? Towards the Tchet Amesim in the Torah. Another Pasuk. Another one of a past and future tense. Can I'm a Kirl say, Bias, not the Kirl. The voice of your seers, meaning the Nevi'im, they lift up their voice. Yachtav Yiranemim was going where they will sing together. Again, reading the Lord member. It doesn't say they sang in the past tense. Ela Yiranem. The time of Tchet Amesim in the Torah. So the Nevi'im sang Abish's praises in the past, and they will again in the future, that's a different, in the future, in Mashiach times, all the Nevi'im will all sing Shira in one voice to the Abish. So now, same positive, Kirk, if I have not to Kirk, Yacht of Yiranemi, they lift up their voice, and together they sing in unison. Which means, some of them probably could say, the Vortage, we learned at the end of the previous paragraph that no two Nevi'im speak in the same style, each Navi has his own style. Well, also, probably, though, it won't be like that. Their experience of course, will be more unfiltered, and therefore, it'll be more identical. Marshall says a different voice on it. He has a concept in Halacha called Shrei Koli Lo Nishan, that says that two voices together can't be heard. Therefore, that's why those meeting are that two people laying the Torah together, for example, because then each one will drown out the other's voice. Well, also, love it. It's not going to be like that. Their voices will all be in unison. No one will drown out each other.
So two Kaddish together?
Kaddish is different. That's, you're allowed to have, I mean, we do. We see it all the time. And sure, that people say Kaddish together.
That would be that in the olden days.
In some of the old time Kehillot, yeah, the minute used to be that each Kaddish is said by a different person, yeah.
Separately,
yeah. I imagine the reason they changed the minute is because there was too much friction among the Avelin, but yeah. Okay. But now the Gemara is once again going to digress from the matter of Tchet Amesim for a bit, to go on to another topic. And the reason for it is because later on the Gemara is going to talk, we talked about the idea that a person says Shira and Elam Hazeh is going to have the quote to say in Elam Hazeh. Later on, on Tzadik Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about a similar idea that if a person teaches Torah in Elam Hazeh, then he'll have the chutz to do so in Elam Hazeh as well. Therefore, the Gemara prefaces it with a couple of statements about the importance of teaching Torah to other people, starting with the negative of it.
If somebody withholds halacha from the mouth of a Talmud, in other words, he refuses to teach a Talmud halacha, because you think he's a Talmud about worthy or whatever, or actually, Marcel says, we could be talking about, for example, let's say, like the famous story of Reb Trezia, where you have to teach the guy 400 times before he finally catches it. So, like, a rough figure, why should I bother? The guy is obviously not suited to it, he's obviously not cut out for it, so why should I bother? I didn't say that the Talmud became a Talmud Chacham, but at least he finally understood what he was talking. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, Koman Neah Halacha Mepi Talmud. So somebody who does that will withhold Halacha from a Talmud and does not teach it. He would go to the Minacha Sahoyza. It's as if he's robbing him of the inheritance of his ancestors. Shenema Torah Sibolami Moshe Merosha Filas Yaakov. The Torah that Moshe commanded us as an inheritance for the congregation of Yaakov, meaning Merosha Yilachoyzio Meshaytus Megrejit. It's an inheritance to the entire Jewish people, including this particular Talmud, including even this Talmud who's not getting it after 399 times. From Sheshes Meberesis, even he is worried. Amar of Chana Babizna, Amar of Shim Chassidah, in a similar vein, Kolamenei Halacha Mishu Talmud, somebody will hold that Halacha and does not teach it to a Talmud, Apilu Ubrin Shibin E'imah in the Kalin Oso. Even the fetuses, even the unborn fetuses in their mother's wombs curse him. Yeah. Now, what's the point of the fetuses cursing him? The Chorazim talk about a number of ideas. One among them are the fetuses, they don't need him to be teaching, they learn from the mouth.
You see, they have a neshama.
We said they have a certain level of neshama. So anyway, the point is, one idea of it is, they don't need his Torah, they're learning from the Mala, and yet even they realize how wrong he is in doing that. They resent it, that he's holding it for himself. There's other explanations also, that if he's saying the Talmud is unworthy, well, then he might say, we're unworthy also, we're not even able to speak yet, etc., so whatever, And there's a lot of different explanations why that's what we mentioned, the fetus.
Well, anyway. They like to kill them when they...
That's a different matter. That's when they're harming, because they're endangering the mother's life.
No, rather, aside from
endangering... Aside from that, then you're not allowed to perform abortions for a different reason. That's called a zayat.
So B'nai know you have to actually hide them. But it's also an overriding
reason.
The only reason is for the mother's health. Yeah. I mean, the mother's health can be defined extensively depending on which part of it you talk to, isn't it? Okay. Anyway, Shanema, how do we know this? The Talmud says, Menea Bar, somebody who holds back grain, and grain is a metaphor for Torah, Yikvuhu La'oim. The La'oim could be good. What does La'oim mean? In the word La'oim, the simple meaning of La'oim is nation. But the Gemara Darshan, the word La'oim means unborn babies. Shanema La'oim La'oim Yema. So we find Rivka is told about the two babies in her womb, that one La'oim will be stronger than the other. We have Yaakov and Esau. Meaning, in other words, they're called La'oim, your mother's still unborn baby. La'um, La'oim, whatever, in the positive is La'oim. But yeah. Some of the proportions say also the verse is that the verse is La'oim is similar to the word La'aim. It means that she still only belongs to the mother because the baby still belongs only to the mother because he's inside her. Yeah. Okay. The ain't kaboy el klala, and when it says kvuhu, means cursing. Shenamu mo ekev like kaboy kale. As we find that Bilam says, how can I curse those who the Eivish doesn't want to curse? So yikvuhu lo'oim means that the lo'oim, the unborn baby, is cursing. The ain't bar el Torah, and the word bar is nothing other than Torah. Shenamu, as opposed to nashu bar, be close to bar, penyanak, lest the Eivish get angry. In other words, hold on tightly to the Torah, because that'll protect you from when the Eivish is upset. So therefore, so putting it all together, Menea Bar, somebody who holds back Bar, meaning Torah, Yikvu La'oim, the La'oim, the unborn baby is cursing. Ula Bar Yishmol, on the Menachvin Oisik Yikvara, Ula Bar Yishmol, so the different meaning of Yikvu, it means that they make holes in him like a sieve. How do we know? Ksiv Ha'cha Yikvu La'oim, because here you have the expression Yikvu, Uksiv Ha'cham, by Yikvu, this person who refuses to teach Torah, they metaphorically pierce him with holes. You have a different pasuk that says he punched a hole in the door. So therefore, we see that the word yikvuhu can not only mean to curse, but the previous explanation, it can also mean to make a hole. Abai says they make holes in him like a colander that's used by laundry men. They used to have, in those days, they didn't have dryers, and they didn't have irons like we have now. But you know how like an iron has holes in it for steam to be able to press the clothes. So in those days, they had a similar kind of thing. They'd have like a tailie with holes in it, sort of like a colander, which they'd use to drizzle water on the clothes so that afterwards they could press them. That's the uchlo dekatsu. So therefore, you made full of holes like that. What's the point? Many of them parishim say the idea is therefore, in other words, like all of the turtle leaks out. So that's the verse of making a hole in him, like all the turtle he knows. He doesn't want to give it, so it ends up leaking out again. In fact, some of the Rehoshim say the verse is, the comparison of comparing it to a sieve is also like this. A sieve is supposed to you put in flour into it, and you're supposed to come out with clean flour. No. This guy is not willing to. He's like a stopped-up sieve. So therefore, they have to punch holes in him to force it to come out. I think that Ben Yehoyada also says the part is why a bunch of small holes, why not one bigger hole in that case, according to the metaphor. The point is, it's not even that he forgets all his learning, like he forgets a little here, a little there, and that bothers him even more. Like, I remember half the thing, and I can't remember the whole thing. Okay. Now we have to ask, on the positive side, if the Rebbe does go and teach the Talmud properly, Maschor, right? So on the other hand, what is his schar? In that case, he is zoicha to brachas like Yosef had.
Meaning what?
Meaning the bracha, all the brachas that Yaakov gave to Yosef, of many children and material wealth and so forth. Shenemo, bracha l'roish mashvir, as that same pasuk that began, Meneach Barik Ruloim, we quoted that half before, the pasuk continues, Uvracha l'roish mashbir. A bracha is on the head of the mashbir. The simple meaning of the mashbir is the one who sells grain. But v'ein mashbir ala Yosef. Mashbir is a reference to Yosef. Shenema v'Yosef hu ha'shalat ala aretz. As I said, Yosef is the one who ruled the whole land of Mitzrayim. Hu ha'mashbir l'chol ha'aretz. He was the one who was selling grain to all the people of the land. Mashbir means somebody who sells shever, who sells grain. He's called the mashbir, right. And the point is, just like he sustained the Midashmias, so a Rebbe who teaches a Talmidim is sustaining the Meruchmias, and therefore he deserves the brachas that Yosef had. I think as Ben Yehoyada points out, also you have the letters are rearranged. You have bracha, Gemara, if the same mother is rearranged, if he does it, if he doesn't. Amr of Shesha. So now we get to why we brought this all in the first place. That Shesha says, "Kolamalamed Torah ba'olam hazeh." Somebody who teaches Torah in this world, zochel malamed ba'olam haba, will have the schus to again teach Torah la'olam haba. As the pasuk says, "Shenema." As the pasuk says, "Marve gamhu yoda." As the pasuk says, the marve will also yoda. So that actually says two explanations of marve. One is it means that he satisfies the thirst. So the Talmidim are thirsty for Torah, and he satisfies them. Gam hu yoda, he will also teach Laos of Lavoi. Also, Rashi says Marve is related to the word.
So thirsty and Laos of Lavoi.
Fine, but then over to Lavoi, of course, to continue doing it. The other explanation, Rashi says, is Marve is also Moloshan Murda. It's the same letter, it's rearranged. So the one who's Murda, who teaches in this world, will also teach Laos of Lavoi. Omer Rava. Minayim v'tchias ha-mesim in ha-Torah. Where is another source for tchias ha-mesim in ha-Torah? Shenem yichiru Ruvin bal yomer. So he's saying, Moshe says in his brachas to shave it Ruvin, let Ruvin live and not die. Meaning, Joseph's alive now. I mean, that's lost love. But the yichiru Ruvin bal yomer. So yichiru Ruvin ba'olam hazeh, bal yomer, ba'olam haba. Means Ruvin shall live in this world and he shall not die, lost love. In even though he did Maisa Bilo, that's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. Why he has to especially for him. Ravina Omamehoff, Ravina says, I have a proof from Sefer Daniel. The positive is, Verabim Yishene Admas Opa Yukitsu. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awaken. Eilo Lachaya Elam. Some of them will be for eternal life. The Eilo Lacharophus, the Dirin Elam. And others will be for shame and for eternal humiliation. Now we've discussed before that you have a machlokas among the Rishonim. We talked about before whether Tchias HaMeisim is going to be only for the Tzaddikim, or is it also going to be for the Rishonim so that they can receive their final punishment. So from here it seems, according to the second opinion, the other opinion that says that not, the other opinion that says that's only for the Tzaddikim would say what it means is those who get up are going to be the Tzaddikim. The ones who don't get up by Tchias HaMeisim, the very fact itself that they don't get up is going to be an eternal humiliation for them. That everybody's going to see, look, these people didn't manage to make it, so obviously they're unworthy.
People, the simple people.
So, in general, we said at the beginning, Kol Yisrael Hashem Chayotam Abba, with the exceptions we said in the Mishnah.
So
the simple people.
It's interesting, now that you mention it, I forgot to mention in the last couple of days, we never talked about the idea that, you know, you have Gan Eden, and then you have Tchias HaMeisim and Laos of Lavoi. Gan Eden is primarily a reward for people for their learning Torah. Therefore, Parshat to people don't necessarily get into Gan Eden because they don't necessarily have Luminat Torah. Whereas Tchias HaMeisim and Mashiach times and Laos of Lavoi is primarily a reward for mitzvahs. And even simple people have mitzvahs.
Gan Eden is a reward.
Gan Eden is primarily, Gan Eden, where a person goes after 120 hello, is primarily for learning Torah. That never talks about. Mm-hmm. As opposed to Tchias HaMeisim and everything after that is primarily for Maisa HaMitzvah. And therefore, so not everybody gets the Gan Eden because not everybody is learning Torah. But as opposed to everybody, pretty much all Jews do mitzvahs, and therefore call you to El Shalom Kaiser Kalam Abba.
And even the ones that are not, again, as we discussed, the Rebbe talks about the various ways that they may make it.
So we said that they themselves may not have done it during their lifetime, but their children can make it up on their behalf. Their Talmidim, other people, even other unrelated people can make it up on their behalf.
They may suffer yisurim, or not yisurim, they may suffer indignities or whatever to their body or whatever after they're dead. And even if all else fails, all it is that they'll have to be nisgalgal in a different, the neshama will have to be nisgalgal in a different group. So the group might be,
l'charofis, do you know another one, eternal embarrassment, that group doesn't make it, but at least the neshama will, at least the neshama will make it. Okay.
Rav Ashi Omamehoch, Rav Ashi says I have a different source based on a pasuk as follows. Also, the last is also in Sefer Daniel, the last pasuk. The Eivishter tells Daniel, "V'ato leich lakeit." As for you, Daniel, you will go to the end. In other words, you'll go to the end of your life, the sanuach, and you'll rest in the grave. The samad legodoch lakeit hayomin, and you will get up for your girdle. You'll get up for your future lakeit hayomin at the end of days. So Keta Yomin, it's interesting, usually the expression is Keta Yomim with a mem.
So one explanation is that sometimes the positive uses a nun instead of a mem.
But Rashi, it is, but still, I mean, the whole positive is easy. Rashi explains, though, that the deeper reason why it says Kav Yamin with a Nun is because Yamin means the right hand. Right now, Kav Yachol, the Eibush's right hand is like withdrawn.
As the pasuk says in Eicha, like the Eibush doesn't use his strong right hand to accomplish things in the world. Kav Yachol, like he acts in a weaker way. La'asav Lavei, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be the case. It's going to have Yamin again. The Eibush is going to bring out his right hand, his power fully obvious that he runs the world, and that's the case of Yamin. Anyway, so those psukim from Daniel are those two clear proofs of Kriyas Mesa.
Called Parnas Shamanic of Tzibur B'Nachas. Any Parnas, any leader of a community who treats the Tzibur gently, Zoychol Manhigam Lo'olam Haba, will have the schutz to also lead his community in Olam Haba. Shenema, the pasuk says, Ki Merachamam Yenahagim, the one who had Rachmonos on them will lead them. The simple meaning of the pasuk is talking about the Eivishti, but we mean, in other words, he was talking about a boss of a job who had Rachmonos on the people. Yenahagim will lead, again, the Yud means will lead them in the future. Valmabue Mayim Yenahalem, and he will lead them along the water in a gentle way, in other words.
So Merachamam, in other words, Merachamam, it's not just, we're not just talking about the Eibishter, we're talking about the Parnassim, we're talking about the people that are the boss of a dog, the leader of the now we're going to, since we mentioned one statement of Rav Elazar about the Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, now the Gemara is going to digress to mention a number of other statements of Rav Elazar, which don't directly have to do with the Tzias Meisim, but we'll bring them all in as the Gemara often does. So the next one, V'amar Rav Elazar, G'dayla Deya Shemitna Ben Shtei Eitiyah. Deya, understanding is a very important thing because we see a place between two names of the Eibishter. Gdela is a great day, it's a great thing. Shemitna ben shtei oisiyos, that it's placed between two oisiyos, between two names of the Eibishter. Shenema ki keil deya is Hashem. As the pasuk says, Hashem is a god of understanding, and therefore we see that deya, the ability, for example, to understand to a certain extent how the Eibishter runs the world, for example, is a tremendous thing. And we see it's placed between two names of Hashem. A number of them, Mefarshim, Marsha, and many of the others, talk about the idea that Kael, usually Kael is a name of Rachman, but sometimes Kael is used as a name of Din. So therefore, it's the idea that a person has Deya and he understands that he understands about the concept of the blend of Chesed and Din. With which the Eibishter runs the world. So therefore, it's between Kael and Havaya, where Havaya is always the name of Midas HaRachamim, and Kael sometimes is Din. So the person understands how the person tries to understand as best as possible how the Eibishter runs the world.
Though the Deyo, but the process speak of
Deyo is the plural. Right, and Chassidus is talking about the Das Elyon and Das Tachton. Okay. But Amr of Allah is Gog of Mikdash, Shemitah Ben Shtei Oisiyos. In the same way, the Mikdash, the base of Mikdash, is a tremendous thing. It's also placed between two names of Eibishter. Shenemra,
Po'alta Hashem, as it says, you've made Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Koneinu Yodecha, the Mikdash that Hashem, that your hands established. So again, we see Hashem, Mikdash Hashem. So that shows the importance of the Mikdash.
Because it's between
two names of Hashem. Yeah. Maskifla Rav Ada Kalchino, so Rav Ada Kalchino asks on that, Elamayasa, by that logic, what are you going to say? Because there's a Nekama Shinitim and Shinitim. Are you going to say that Nekama and this thing, that it's also placed between two names of Hashem and a Pasuk? Shinem, just if Keom Nekama is Hashem, Keom Nekama is Ephia. You have the word Nekama. You have the word Nekama between Keil and Hashem. So are you going to say Nekama is a great thing?
Amalei, so Rav Elazar answers, yes. Lemil say Hachinami. As a matter of fact, in its place, in its appropriate time, yes, Nekama is a tremendous thing. Kidu'ula, like we find that Ula says, the Ova Ula Shtei Haitoya Salavulaga.
Ula asks, why does it mention twice in the passage that the Eidishter appears? Meaning, what does it say? Keom Nekama is Hashem, Keom Nekama is Ephia. So in other words, it actually says, when it says Keom Nekama is Hashem, it amounts to saying that Hashem of Nekama appears. And then it says again in the passage, Keom Nekama is Ephia.
And
so therefore, it's like it says twice that the Eibishter appears.
So that's the question, why? In Brachas, it says a little bit differently. The Gemara says a little bit differently. The question is, why is it twice in the comma? Kill the comma is Hashem, kill the comma is Ephia. Why is it mentioned twice in the comma and the comma? Achas for midah toiva, the achas for midah peronis. It means there's one the comma, which is the midah of toiva, and one which is the midah of peronis. Namely, Rashi says, the Torah is that the Eibishter shows his closeness to the Jewish people, the fact that he did not make his Shekhinah rest by the Goyim, only by the Jewish people, so that can be called a Nekama, that it's a good thing for the Jewish people that we have the Shekhinah, but on the other hand, from that comes something negative for the Goyim, that they don't have it. And the second Nekama is a direct thing, directly punishing the Goyim for what they did. So that's the two Nekamas.
One is that something is taken, something that they're denied.
They're denied having the Shekhinah, which we have, and the other one is actual punishment for what they did wrong, for what they did bad. The various punishments that there's going to be for the very multiple. So the point is, in other words, that's why we have the two Nekamas, but that's also therefore said, yes, Nekama in that sense. The Eibush does that ultimate Nekama. And shows the world that he runs things and that we're his special people and they are not. That kind of Nekama, yes, is a very important thing, and therefore it deserves to be between the two names of Eibishter. One interesting thing somebody points out is we know the famous Olam Shana and Nefesh. You have the three aspects of existence. You have the world, you have the person, and you have time. But Deya over here is something that applies to the Nefesh, or something that applies on the individual level. The person has Deya. Deya means understanding. The person tries to understand how the person tries to understand how the Eibishter runs the world. The Mikdash is a special place in the Olam, in the physical world. And the Kama is, we're talking Laos and Lava, is a special type, a special thing in time. So therefore you have the Olam, the Shana, and the Nefesh. Olam is in space, Shana is in time, and Nefesh is in person. Okay. Also, the Balaga says that any person who has Deya, again, who tries to understand Torah, who tries to understand how the Eibishter runs the world, etc., ki'ilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yomav. Such a person is as if the beis hamikdash was built in his time. And we see, because there's a comparison between them, shezenitin min shteyotis, v'zenitin min shteyotis, because we see that both Deya and the mikdash are placed between two names of the Eibishter, implying that there's a certain similarity between them. Ba'amar of Allah, they're all not to work on it. You can constantly be growing in Deya. The point is that you work on it. You work on trying to understand.
Knowing his Tarsus is very good.
That's true, yeah.
And that's called Deya.
That's one aspect of Deya. In a general way, Deya means understanding Torah.
It means trying to understand
about all the course diet delakeavicha. It means trying to understand how the Eibishter runs the world, etc. Yeah, it includes all of that. Yeah. The Amar of Allah, the Kol Adam Shiyesh BeDeya, let's say it's Mitasher, a person who has Deya, in the end will become rich. Shenema, the person says they were Das, and through Das, Chadorim Yimolu, the rooms will get filled Kol Hoyim Yaakov Anoyim with all kinds of precious and wonderful treasures. Some of them, before we should say, it doesn't necessarily mean riches physically. It may mean, first of all, ruchni is sick of riches. It may also mean misasher in the sense that he's zero osha, sameach b'chalkei, that if a person develops this kind of deya, they learn to be sameach b'chalkei, whether they're actually materially rich or not.
Sameach b'chalkei seems to be contradictory to pastera. I mean, who should be sameach b'chalkei?
Sameach b'chalkei is a gashmius. You know the same way that the point is. You know, we talked about in a few places in Hayom Yom, the idea that in Gashmius, you have to look at those below you and be thankful that you're not down there. In Ruchnius, you have to look at those above you and then work to reach that level. In another place in Hayom Yom, talks about the Alphabet, says to a person who said this, actually, Hayom Yom, my book said, I'm a seven,
Gashmius and Ruchnius in that sense are opposites. In Gashmius, the greatest thing to be Sameach Lechelkei. In Ruchnius, to be a Sameach Lechelkei is a really bad thing.
Yeah,
exactly. On the other hand, on the other hand, if a person does not have Deya, it's also to have Rachmanis on him. Hold on. As the Pasuk says, let's first see the proof from the Pasuk, and then we'll talk about what it means. As the Pasuk says, Kiloy Ambino Isu, as the Pasuk says, this is a nation that does not have understanding. Therefore, the one who made him, the Eibishter, has no Rachmanis on him. And the one who created him, Lo Yechunenu, does not have mercy on him.
What about the Tommy that has to be a piece of fire?
That's day. Not that he has day. He has day. He's working on day. He doesn't have a good brain. Fine. But that's not he has no day. What do we mean by he has no day? There's many different explanations of it.
First of all, some of the some some of the Acharonim say, I believe it's worse than the Arizal, actually, that it refers primarily to Goyim. It's not even talking about Jewish people.
Okay.
The Pasuk, actually, is the Pasuk is actually talking about Goyim. The Pasuk that we're bringing as a proof, Tilayam Bino, so it's in the Aftarah of Parashat Shemot. Other than that, though, there's a lot of different explanations, but it's a Aftarah of Parashat Shemot. I like to point out when a pasuk is from Aftarah, because that way when you come to that Aftarah, you'll recognize the pasuk and you'll know that. Okay. Anyway, there's a lot of other explanations as well, including it means a person who knows that Deya is out there, who knows that Torah is out there, but doesn't bother with it. So in that case, if he himself doesn't bother to improve himself, then it's not necessarily appropriate to have Rachmanis on him. There is a famous thing, by the way, though, there's an expression that the Rebbeim used to say, look what a Rachmanis it is on such a person, though, that the Torah itself says you're also to have Rachmanis on him. So there's that. But the River Nagolius brings a more down-to-earth idea. Yeah, it's not necessarily halacha, but it's a practical thing. And in other words, that you have to be careful in the Rachmanis. Yeah, and the River Nagolius says it on a more down-to-earth level. It means, for example, if you have a person who doesn't know what's good for him, and he's asking for something which you who have das know is not good for him, don't have a fake Rachmanis on him and give it to him, but have the true Rachmanis on him, and then don't give him something that you know is going to harm him. So there's that.
And also give what? If you speak about the, what's the portion of Pshat? What's the
portion of Pshat would be, as many Mephoshim say, it means that the person who doesn't bother acquiring das, who doesn't bother trying to improve himself, doesn't bother trying to learn or whatever, so in that case, yeah. On the other hand, again, like I said, there's a Rachmanus on such a person that you're not allowed to have Rachmanus on him. The Rachmanus on him is all the greater, that you need to bring him to a point that he should be able to have Rachmanus on him. Yeah. Okay. Being like a behemoth can be a positive thing also, But it means that a person has a tzmimus, a person that serves the Eibishter with a tzmimus. Yeah,
In
this connection also, if a person gives his bread to somebody who doesn't have deya, Yisurin, Boyin Olav, and the person who gave the bread, Yisurin are going to come on him. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Lach Mecha Yosimu Mozer Tachtecha, they will make your bread as a mozer, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, mozer means Yisurin, in your place, Ain't Tvuna Boy, there's no intelligence in him. In other words, you give your bread to somebody who there's no intelligence in him, there's no deya in him, then you get Yisurin. Then Mozer El Yisurin, the word Mozer refers to Yisurin. Shanema, Vayar Ephraim Eschoye, Yehuda Es Mizorei, as it says, Ephraim saw their sickness, Yehuda saw their Mozer, meaning their Yisurin. So again, it goes with the same idea. In other words, who has no Rachmanis on himself, who's self-destructive like that, then giving him bread is just going to be enabling. So let him start, but in other words, work on having him develop that. Work on having him. So you give him
bread, and then you.
So, but that's the point. In other words, if you're just doing it, like unearned chesed, then unearned chesed can destroy a person. We find Avraham and Yishmael, for example,
Well, if it's not tzedakah, the guy is hungry.
Okay, so again, in other words, it's not that you let him starve, but we had in Baba Bastro, actually, we had a story over there where Rebbe, one time there was a year of famine, Rebbe opened up his storehouses of food, and he answered, it's only open to people who've learned anything in Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, whatever, it's not open to Amaya Oret, until one of his Talmidim came and pretended to be an Amaya Oret, and wheedled some food out of him, and then Rebbe said, fine, everybody can. The point is, Rebbe's original thing was, fine, we're not going to say the Amaya Oret should starve, but we are going to say the whole famine is their fault, as the Gemara describes over there, therefore, fine, they don't need from my storehouses, there are other places they can get. So this would be the same. We had it at the beginning of Baba Basra. That's right. V'amir of Allah, called Adam She'en Bo Deya, a person who does not have Deya, will save Gola, in the end, winds up going into Golos. Shenem Alachin Gola Ami Mivlidat. The Pasuk says, therefore, my people have gone into Golos for lack of that. Again, a person doesn't try to bring himself to the level of a person. He stays on the level of a behemoth. Then Golos and a kapara.
So
Golos can be a kapara for him, and he'll develop the means.
So you should not have Rachmanis.
So that's what we said. What does it mean to not have Rachmanis? It means you be cruel to him. It means though you need to work on him to get him to a point where he has some sort of doubt. Any house where words of Torah are not heard in it at night.
The words of Torah are not
heard. Wait, I'll tell you in a second. fire will burn up such a house. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Kochoshech tomon tzkunav, the darkness is hidden for is concealed for the hidden ones, in other words, for the hidden things of Torah. So like this, the darkness is concealed, words of Torah are concealed in that house at night. In the darkness, it will be consumed by a fire that doesn't need to be blown on. Normally, a fire needs to be blown on, so like this. When he finds it bad that there is a sorid in his tent. What is a sorid? Ain't sorid. The word sorid, which means a remnant, refers to Tamar Chachamim. As the Pasuk says, the remnants to whom Hashem calls. So in other words, here we're talking about a person who doesn't want that Torah should be learned in his house at night. He finds it bad if there are people in his house learning at night. So therefore, we're saying that. Now, why dafka at night? There's a number of different explanations. One of them is that it means Marashah talks about the idea. By day, it's noisy outside. You don't hear Torah because fine, it's too noisy to hear it. If you don't hear it at night, though, it means Torah is not being learned in that house. Period. There's also the idea during the day people are busy working, so by night is the time to learn. There's a lot of different ideas behind it.
There's a halacha that says,
a person learns most of his chokhmah by night.
And also, at home, they should learn something.
Also, at home, a person is, yeah, that's the idea. A person who does not benefit Tamar Chachamim from his possession. So here, in other words, we're talking about a Zvulun type, a Balabas, who's working for a living, but he doesn't benefit Tamar Chachamim from his Nechasim. Ein Eroi, a Simen Bracha Lo'olam, is not going to see a Simen Bracha forever. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Ein Sorid, another Pasuk I mentioned, Sorid, Ein Sorid Lo'achloi, there is no Sorid among those who eat from his food. Arkein lo yochel tuva, therefore his goodness will not occur. And again, ain't sorid. Those have been chachamim. Shneimor v'asuridim asher asher chora. Again, the word sorid refers to shemar chachamim. So ain't sorid laochle. He's not allowing the sorid to benefit from his food. Therefore, he doesn't end up having good. So again, the idea, the purpose of a zvulun is to support, is to help a yisacha.
The
Zvulun has to learn also. The Zvulun has to learn also. But the Gemara mentions in the office that technically a person can be yotze with kriyas shmashakos ba'aretz. That's the minimal amount that a person has to do to be yotze the mitzvah of learning Torah daily. The Gemara says you shouldn't say that over time or otherwise, otherwise they're not going to learn anything else. But in principle that is enough. But then a person has to be mahanas and chachamim so that proper learning is being done with it.
Put that on one side.
Okay. Onward.
Since we mentioned this pasuk, ain't sorid lo'achle, another thing we learned from that pasuk, kol she'ein meshayev pas al shulchan, anybody who does not leave bread over on his table, so this way, in particular, that the aniyim can eat from it, if aniyim show up, ain't a roi, a simen bracha lo'olam, is not going to see a simen bracha forever, shenema, same pasuk, ain't sorid lo'achle, there's no sorid, and here we mean sorid in the simple sense, a remainder, there's no remainder for his food, okay, lo yachol tovay, so here we're using sorted in the simple sense. He doesn't leave any food on his table. There's nothing left for the aniyim. What? Wait. Therefore, his goodness does not occur. Meaning, there has to be food left on the table. This way, if aniyim can come, you have to feed them. The question is, didn't Rabbi Elazar say the opposite? If somebody leaves over pieces of bread on his table, it's as if he's over the Zara. Shenemar, ha'urchem la'gad shulchan, as the prophet says, those who set a table for God. God is the name of a getchka. We learned earlier in the Masechta that specifically it's a getchka of fortune, like a person sets a table. Rashi describes that a person sets a table with food and drink in the name of that avodah zarah, God, that there should be good fortune in the house. And people who fill up cups of spiced wine for mini, another name of a getchka. So we see that leaving food on your table is not a good thing. The answer is like kasha. It depends whether there's a whole loaf of bread in it or not. Meaning, Rashi explains, and then most of the Mephoshim explain this way also, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. If you have pieces of bread on the table, and then afterwards you come and put a whole loaf together with them on the table, that's ha'urchem lagab shulchan. That would be no good, because then it's like you already have pieces of bread on the table. What are you doubt for putting down a whole loaf? Evidently, you're doing it in honor of God. Mashenkin, when we're talking about to leave pieces of bread on your table, we're talking about cut pieces, that's fine, and that's a good thing, because then that way there's food for the aniyim. And Taka brings it to Shulchan Aruch, in Or HaChaim, Siman Kuf Pei, that this is what it is. If you have pieces of bread on your table at the end of the meal, don't dafka go and put a whole loaf there, because that would be...
Crumbs?
No, not crumbs. I mean, pieces of bread. That's a respectable size.
They deteriorate.
Fine, you put them in a plastic bag, whatever the point is. We're not talking about you leave it forever. Eventually, you clear the table. The point is, during the meal. The point is, during or at the end of the meal, to dafka bring a whole loaf of bread to put it on the table together with the pieces is not appropriate. During the meal, of course, you bring bread to the table, yeah.
What's the shagos that we have to this geshkes?
No, the point is, in other words, that people used to do that. They would set a table with food.
So what they did, but why
yes.
We have
why? So it's the same thing. So you have a couple of the achronim. I think the Gomer Goyen talks about maybe it's not such an issue nowadays because nobody worships God anyway. Nevertheless, though, it is brought. This concept is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Okay.
They used to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Vulnerable.
What do you do today?
So that's it. So if you have pieces of bread left on the table at the end of the meal, don't doubt to bring out a whole loaf to put on the table with them.
Leave
the pieces of bread there. Okay. Until you clear the table, of course. Yeah. Okay. Vulnerable.
When you remove the bread, then how would you actually leave it?
After the meal, you clear the table. Vulnerable. As a kolamachlet v'dibore, somebody who changes his words, in other words, somebody who lies, kilo oved avod azara, as if he's worshiping avod azara. Because you have a pasuk that says, Yaakov says to Rivka, if I go to Yitzchak and pretend to be Esav, though Yisig be'enov kimisatea, I will be in his eyes like a misatea. The simple meaning of misatea is of someone who misleads. But we have a pasuk elsewhere, Hevel Hema Masi Tatuim, that Avodah Zarah is described as nonsense, Masi Tatuim, something that misleads. So therefore, kimisatea means that I'll be like somebody who worships Avodah Zarah. There's also the idea that the seal of the Eibishter is truth, and therefore a person who lies and misleads is going away from the Eibishter in that sense. So there's an interesting story, I think it's brought in Sefer Ikrim, I don't remember, that a guy once in a while, there was a guy who had been a career criminal for many years, and he finally comes to a Rav to ask him what's one thing to do tshuva. The Rav tells him, always tell the truth. So then, okay, it seems easy enough. Then eventually he has a Yetzirah against steal. He's walking along. One of his friends meets up with him. Where are you going? Okay, I got to tell the truth. I'm going to steal. Another of his friends meets up. He says the same thing. Then after he starts thinking to himself a little later, wait a minute, now there are two Edom against me. I could be in big trouble. And he stops. So the telling the truth actually helps. Yeah. Okay.
Of course, he could move out of his quarter, but it's a way... how to do it in the proper way.
Yeah, okay.
We're not talking about
I mean, in Yaakov's case also. I mean, obviously he wasn't misate. Obviously he's doing it under Rivka's, and he's doing it under Rivka's instruction. But we're talking about a person not doing it like that. Okay. V'amar Rav Elazar, kol mistakel be'erva kashin in erva. Somebody who looks at erva, meaning... different Mephoshim talk. Rashi over here mentions two possibilities. Either it means that he actually looks at the erva of his wife, for example. Some Mephoshim also say it can mean a person's own erva. And then Rashi says another. You're not necessarily supposed to stare at it. Also, Rashi brings another explanation. Misakol, but erva means to contemplate it, like to think about Eishes Ish or whatever. Anyway, Kashtin in Eretz, his keshes, his bow gets weakened, gets shaken out. Rashi again says two explanations. One is that Kashtin means his aver, his power of his potency. Nin Eretz gets taken away. The other explanation is that Kashtin means more generally his strength, his bodily strength. Anyway, Shenema, the positive is Eria Teir Kashtecha. The simple meaning of the positive is Eria Teir Kashtecha. Hashem, your bow is bare. It is like made bare so that you can when you fight against your enemy. But we're darshaning it, Eria, Moloshan Erva, Teir Kashtecha, your Keshet, your bow, your strength becomes weakened. That's different. But Amarabalazar, Lo'olam have a Kovil Vakayim. Rav Elazar says another thing. A person should always be dark, meaning onav, and he'll live. In other words, make yourself like you're in the dark. You're not putting yourself out in front of everybody. Kovel means dark. It's Aramaic, yeah. As v'kayim, and then you'll continue to exist. You'll live long. Rav Zera says, yeah, you can see this from a halacha. bias awful. You have a, if you have a house that has taras, if the house is naturally dark, it doesn't have windows. Now the din is the kohen has to be able, it has to be able to see the taras with natural light. You don't bring a light, you don't bring a flashlight or whatever. You have to be able to see it in the natural light in the house. So if you have a dark house, there's no windows. You don't break open in the wall windows that you should be able to see the nega. You just declare the house tahar. So therefore, you see, by the house being dark, it gets saved from being torn down with tara. So the same thing, a person is keeps himself in the dark, keeps himself humble, then he continues to exist. Even if he has a tara somewhere in there, he gets saved from the effect. No, but it means, in other words, that another is an important thing. It helps the person.
Okay.
Early in the Masechta, we have this concept that Rabbi Elazar himself, for a long time, didn't want to get smicha because he felt that would be putting himself too much in the spotlight. But eventually, he realized there's important reasons to accept it. Okay. That's a different thing, but yeah, indeed. Okay, Shema Minos, so that proves this idea. Okay. Now, getting back yet again to Tzias Amesim. Amr of Tavi, Amr of Yeshia. My dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in a pasuk in Mishlei, Sha'ol va'otzer rocham, Sha'ol meaning the grave, va'otzer rocham, and the narrow womb, Eretz leisava mayim, and a land which is never satisfied with water. And the simple meaning of the pasuk is you have those three things are never satisfied. The grave is never satisfied. People are constantly dying. Va'otzer rocham, the narrow womb is never satisfied. People all the time want be'ila, want to have relations. And then Eretz leisava mayim, and you have a land which is thirsty for water. It's never, there's no water is never enough for it. The question is, why the comparison? Why is the pasuk putting together sha'ol, the grave, with rechem, the womb? Elo loy malacha teaches it like this. Ma rechem machnes umayt. See, just like the womb, something goes in, the zera, and something comes out, the baby. Ach sha'ol machnes umayt. The same way the grave, something goes in, the body is buried there, umayt, and it comes out. That's kesem mayt.
No, but it's still very different.
But it's still the same as kesem mayt. It's like a rebirth. And he continues, and not only that, in that case, you can make a kavachomer. Umar rechem shemachnisin by bachshai, madach the womb where the zera is put into it in secrecy, because you have relations in private. Mertin memer b'koyle koylus, but when the baby comes out of it, there's a lot of noise involved, the mother and the baby and all. And it's a very public affair. Sha'ol shemachnisin by b'koylus, and in that case, the grave where the body is buried there with koylus, everybody's crying. And it didn't shemit seem men of koylus koylus. How much more so when the body comes out of it? That's chesem esim. That it's going to be with tremendous publicity.
That's for sure.
We can shuva la'omin in chesem esim in a Torah. There is a proof against those who could claim that there's no chesem esim in the Torah. There you have a pasuk that expresses the idea that not only there is, but there's going to be a lot of publicity involved. That's a pasuk for Mishlei. Torah more generally means all of that. The tzaddikim that the Eibishter is going to bring alive again, they will never afterward return to their dust. Now, Rashi makes an interesting point. So he says that...
So
we talked about the Rambam holds that eventually after Tchias HaMesim they will die and then the Neshamas will go to... The Rambam understands Olam Habot means Olam HaNeshamas, the same Gan Eden that Neshamas go now after 120. The Rambam would say, we're going to have on Olam Beis, we're going to have a different opinion. The Rambam would hold according to that opinion. It's interesting. I mean, the Rambam would have to disagree with this, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. They actually do bring over here. You have a little hay over here by Ein Chozun. It is. We're going to have an Amun Beis. Anyway, it's interesting. I mean, you have a little hay over here by Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah that refers to the Rambam, but the Rambam doesn't actually say that referring to Hilchot Ches and Hilchot Shuva. But the Rambam doesn't actually say in so many words in that Perek that after Tchias HaMesim there won't be any death. In fact, he really doesn't talk very much about Tchias HaMesim in general in Yad HaChazaka, which actually, by the way, led some of the Rambam's opponents to ask that the Rambam even believed in Tchias HaMesim. The Rambam had to write a whole letter afterwards clarifying his position about it. Of course there's going to be Tchias HaMesim, but it's not the be-all and end-all. It's going to be after that. Eventually there's going to be a world of Neshamas only. So the Rambam doesn't really deal with it much in Mishneh Torah, because again, it's an important thing of Yiddishkeit. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, but it's not the end. It's not the final stage in the process that Rambam holds. The final stage, he says, is Olam HaNeshamos. It's the Neshamos without body. Again, the Ramban and most everybody else.
Where is
he
going to be
then? No, Tchias HaMesim will be on Earth, but afterwards, then he holds. Eventually, then you're not going to have bodies anymore. You're just going to have Neshamos.
Okay. Where? It's going to be in a state?
It will be in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a Ruchniistic place.
Everybody disagrees with
it. Most everybody else disagrees with it. Siddhus also says that not like that. Siddhus says that no, the ultimate thing is that you will have neshamas and gufim, just the gufim themselves will be on a higher level. Okay, Rashi, it's interesting. The expression Rashi uses over here is somewhat like the Rambam, maybe, because he says, Habosim is Kayim Aleim. He says the flesh will continue to exist on them. Actually, Yeshuva V'yichru La'asid Lava, until they come alive again, La'asid Lava, which sort of amounts to saying, and it would actually seem to be saying, that they will die, they just won't return to dust.
They'll come back to life. So
Rashi is not quite like the Rambam, but in other words, the idea is Rashi is focusing on the Ein and Chozer Laforan, that they will eventually die, these people who came alive at Ches and Esim, because their bodies won't return to dust. They'll be preserved and eventually come alive again.
It's not only tzaddikim, just tzaddikim. They
so when we say tzaddikim over here, doesn't mean tzaddikim specifically, or doesn't mean...
Some people will die, but they're not. They'll still be alive.
I mean, in Chassidus, it talks about in general, that the whole thing is after Ches and Esim, everybody will continue to live forever. You're just going to have the gufim themselves are going to be nizakas, so they're going to be on a higher level. Well, that's according to what we're saying over here. That's what it sounds like. But according to Rashi, anyway.
In general.
Yeah. Okay.
So the tzaddikim.
Anyway, again, we're going to talk on other days. You have other opinions. Joseph. Okay. Shenema, the positive is all yadim.
Last chief, you saw Ben Prezim Lachoro.
Bainly Moshe Mashiach, Bainly Osid Lava. Ella Habosim Eskayim Aleim, Rashi says, the flesh will continue to exist on them. Ad Sheyeshuva V'yichru La'asid Lava, until they live again in La'asid Lava. In other words, implying they will die, but their bodies won't decay back into dust. Their bodies will be preserved until they come alive again. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'hoyan nisha b'tzion, as the pasuk says, those who remain in Tzion, v'anos of Yerushalayim, and those who are left over in Yerushalayim, kodesh yamalai, kodesh will be said to them, as we learned in Bava Metzia, by the way, that it means asidim tzadikim, sh'yamalapneim, in Bava Vastra, I mean, asidim tzadikim, sh'yamalapneim, kodesh, that in the future, kodesh will be said in front of tzadikim, like it is now today, Mishnah. Kolakos of Lachaim Yerushalayim, for everybody who is written for life in Yerushalayim, meaning Makodesh Lo'elam Kayim, just as the Holy One, the Eivishter, lives forever, Achim Lo'elam Kayim, and therefore they also continue to exist forever. The Im Tomas, you're going to ask, Oysen Shodim Sha'osid HaKodesh Bo'el HaKadosh Be'anet Elamai, what about in those years, the 1,000 years during which the Eivishter is going to renew the world? We'll learn later on Daf Tzadik Zayin, when we're going to have a whole sugya about Yemos Mashiach over there. The Gemara describes over there the idea you have 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh, then you have 1,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, during which the Gemara describes over there Chad Charuv, Trei Charuv, or whatever, you have different opinions, whether it's 1 or 2,000 years that the world is going to be destroyed. We'll talk about 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh, and then you're going to have 1,000 or 2,000 years when Chad, Trei Charuv, when the world is going to be destroyed. We'll talk, that's the Shem, when we get there, on Tzadik Zayin, we'll talk about what that means, the world is going to be destroyed. We'll talk about what Chassidus explains about it, but whatever, at least on the surface, what it means is, Rashi says, it means the world is going to be gone for 1,000 years. So these tzaddikim who are alive in their bodies, like you ask, where are they going to be in space? The Shenema, the pasuk says, "Niskav Hashem Levadei Bayemahu," as it says, Hashem alone will be exalted on that day. In other words, alone. In other words, there's not going to be a world. Tzadikim Mahenoisin. So, what are the tzadikim going to be doing during that period? The answer is, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Oisel Lahem Knafayim Knesharim. The Eivishter will make for them wings like the eagles, the Shotin Apnei Mayim, so that they'll be able to fly around above the surface of the water. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Al Kaimlin, you know, the word will be back to water again, like it was before my tribulation. So, for 1,000 or 2,000, we'll discuss later on Tzadik Zayin, we'll discuss the different opinions. Yes. Shenema. Yeah, no. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Al Kaimlin, you know, Bahamir Artis, as the pasuk says, therefore we don't have to be afraid when the earth is going to be changed. When the mountains collapse into the middle of the water, we won't have to be afraid because we, the tzaddikim, will be floating around, we'll be flying around above the surface of the water. But I'll tell you, in Chassidus it talks about, first of all, in Chassidus it talks about, again, when we get the idea to the idea of Chad Charuv and Trei Charuv on Tzadik Zayin, we'll talk about it, that's the Shem. First of all, Chassidus says it doesn't mean at face value that the world will be destroyed, it means the world will be a completely different kind of world. It won't be the Gashmiistic world that we'll recognize, it'll be the Gashmiistic world will be brought to a higher level to the extent that you can say, relative to the way it is now, it's like destroyed, it's a whole different entity. Second of
all, going to be 7 days.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Yeah, that's a different thing. We talked about that before, that the sun and moon will be more powerful, yeah. But anyway,
in Chassidus, in a few places, it talks about the idea, this that we're saying that the tzaddikim are going to be floating above the water, Maimon from Mitzvah Rebbe, for example, that talks about it. Water represents, we know in general, water represents Torah. So water represents Torah, and it represents Chochmah Yilah, the higher Chochmah of Eidoshim. We're saying the tzaddikim are higher than that. Tzaddikim are higher than the Torah, therefore they float above it, and the tzaddikim are higher than Chochmah Yilah of Eidoshim. That's what the Gemara means in the sense of it here, when we say that the tzaddikim are going to be floating above the water. In other words, the world is going to be full. And the tzaddikim are going to be even higher than that. Shem atoyma yeshlem tzar. So you're going to argue that after flying around for that all that period, they're going to have tzar. It's going to be hard for them. Tamad loyma. No. Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'kovei Hashem yachlitu koyach." Those who trust in the Eivishter will renew their strength. Yalu Eva kind of shot in. They'll renew. They'll keep on developing wings like the eagles. Yorutu v'lo yigo. In a more general way, in a general way. V'hamachulam tzaddikim. So to what extent? We mean what kind of tzaddikim we mean over here? It can mean more generally. Yeah. Tamabam. V'kovei Hashem yachlitu koyach. Therefore, the pasuk. Yeah. Yorutu v'lo yigo. They will run and they won't get tired. Yelchu v'lo yiochu. They'll go and they won't get worn out. So therefore we see that even during that time they're floating around, they're flying around over there, but they'll continue renewing their strength. The Gemara asks, if they're able to live in such a world, then they're able to do all that. Yeah. Again, not necessarily as all this meant on a simple gashmiistic level. We're talking ruchniistic ideas.
Okay.
It's best to be. Okay. Fine. Especially again, according to the thing in Torah Chaim and other places that we're talking, it means they're higher than Chochmei Law. They're higher than Torah. So fine, but they still have Neshamas. They still have Gufim. Yeah. Okay.
They still have Gufim?
According to Chassidus, again, that's the Ramban hold. But the ultimate thing is that the Neshamas go back into the Gufim, that's Kesem Esim, and they remain that way forever. And Chassidus accepts that, as opposed to the Ramban's position that afterwards, eventually, the Gufim go away and you have only Neshamas. So, yeah.
What about the 1,000 years?
That's what we're talking about even during that 1,000.
Chassidus
holds that once it's Kesemesim, there will never again be, the guf will continue to exist. The guf will be a higher level guf than it is now. It'll be a more, that fits with what we're saying over here. The guf will still exist. It'll be on a higher level. It'll be higher than even the water of the kus that covers the world.
So the tzaddikim are going to float.
That's what we mean. Float and new and in body. Yeah, in a guf. Okay, so the question is, why is Tana Eliyahu saying that these tzaddikim who will come alive by Tchias Mesim are never going to die and never going to return to dust? Why instead don't we learn from the Mesim that Yechezkel revived? Where Yechezkel revived those Mesim, but yet they don't exist nowadays. Eventually they did die again and decay. So by the same logic, shouldn't we argue the same thing is eventually going to happen with the people who come alive by Tchias Mesim? So that the Rambam can understand that's a different opinion. Therefore, the Rambam can understand that. Therefore, yes, you can say that the tzaddikim will come alive. That's case, and will have, and then the neshamas will be in Olam Haba. Is the point? Yeah, the Rambam can understand that way. Again, everybody else disagrees with him. Some of them, of course, have explained the point of the Gemara's question is rather, why are you bringing all these different proofs from different psukim and whatever about Tchias Mesim? You have an actual case history of Tchias Mesim involving your Yechezkel and then the dry bones. So why don't you prove from that that there's a thing of Tchias Mesim?
It was a local case.
No, it wasn't in the future. It had something that had, on the face of it, actually happened.
During
Golas Bavel, during Yechezkel time. The answer is Savala Commander Omar, because that opinion can hold according to the opinion that says Be'emes Mashal Hoya. That really it was that in truth it was a mashal. It wasn't something that actually, according to this opinion, it's not something that actually happened. There wasn't a valley full of dry bones, literally, that Yechezkel arrived. It rather means Yechezkel saw the whole thing in a vision of Nevuah and was told to tell the Jewish people, I saw this vision of Nevuah, and therefore this was Simon, excuse me, that first of all, that one day there's going to be Tchias Mesim, and second of all, that the Jewish people will be renewed and revived from their gullus. But not, according to this opinion, not necessarily was there an actual valley full of dry bones.
Well, it's still, if it's not, then it might going to happen.
A nevuah can be that the Navi is showing something which doesn't necessarily happen in the physical world. We're not talking about not a nevuah from the future. The future, of course. If a Navi says something is going to happen, we said before, it has to come true in every detail. But for example, there's other examples. I mean, besides what we're saying over here, you have, for example, there's also in Sefer Yechezkel, for example, you have a whole thing where the Eibishter tells Yechezkel to lie on his left side for 390 days and then lie on his right side for 40 days. We learned it earlier in the Masechta. We had that Amin Aser Labo about it. So a number of the Rishonim hold that this is not something that actually happened in the physical world. This is something that Yechezkel was shown a vision of himself doing that. And he's meant to tell the Jewish people that I saw this vision in Nevuah, and it's meant to represent that I, the tzaddik, have to be mechaper for your 390 and 40 years of aveiros. There's other things like that also. Again, you have different things. The Medrash, for example, Seder Olam takes it literally, that he actually literally lay on his left side and on his right side for those number of days. The earlier Gemara also. But yeah, but Rishonim will take the view that it's something that happened b'mare ha-Nevuah, not necessarily in physical reality. So the same thing over here, about the dry bones, not necessarily yet. In that sense, yeah. I mean, more generally, it says that Yechezkel continues to say, the Eibishter tells him that the whole Jewish people are saying that we're goners, you know, there's no future hope for us. And Eibishter says, no, that you'll come alive again by Tchias HaMeisim, and nationally you'll come alive again, the Mos HaMashiach. Yeah. Okay. Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, there's actually several different opinions whether this actually happened or not. Mm-hmm. The Tanya, as we learn in a place, Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, Mason Shehech Yechezkel, these dead people that Yechezkel revived, Omdu Aragleim v'Omru Shira, they stood on their feet, they said Shira to the Eibishter, Umesu, and then they died again. There was a momentary thing for them to come alive to show the Jewish people that Tchias HaMeisim is possible. Ma Shira Omdu, what was the Shira they said? Hashem Memes Tzedek U'machai V'Rachmim, Hashem kills, Hashem makes Zai with Tzedek, with righteousness, and brings alive again with Rachmim.
But that's the opposite. He goes alive
and then... Mamet, he originally caused the Zayu Machaya, and then he made them alive again. But that's it. Fine, but the purpose is that these things, the Tchias HaMeisim was done. Rabbi Shura, Emer, Shira Zuam, Rabbi Shura says they said the following Shira, Hashem Mamet Machaya, Hashem kills and brings back alive, murdered Sha'ol by Yoal, he brings down to the grave and brings back up. Marsha talks about the two different opinions, what the Shira was may reflect two different opinions that the Gemara has in a little bit. Who these Mason were anyway, were they people who denied Tchias HaMeisim, were they people who didn't have the schus for Tchias HaMeisim, etc. Rabbi Yehuda I'm an MS Marshal. Rabbi Yehuda says, truth, it was a Marshal. MS Lama Marshal, the Marshal Lama MS. What do you mean? What's the expression? If it's truth, it's not a Marshal. And if it's a Marshal, what's truth? El Be MS Marshal. What you must mean to say is, in truth, it was a Marshal. It's not something that actually happened, it was something that was shown to him in a Nevuah. As a metaphor. Be MS Marshal, in truth. In certainty, it was a marshal. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer ben Oshir Rabbi Yitzchak Lizayim, Mason Shehech Yechezkel. So these Mason that Yechezkel revived, all over Eretz Yisrael, they went up eventually to Eretz Yisrael. The Nosim Noshim by Rabbi Dubonu Rabbanus, they got married, and they had sons and daughters. So we have three different opinions: did they just be revived momentarily and then they died again? Was the whole thing only a marshal? Or on the other hand, did they go on and lead normal lives? Amr Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira al Raglav, at that point, when they said that, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira got up on his feet. But Amr said, Anim ibn Ebneim, I am actually a descendant of these people that Yechezkel revives. But halalu tefillin, sheniach li avi abba mehem, and these are the tefillin that my grandfather bequeathed to me that came from them. So yes, they were actually real people who continued to live afterwards. Not forever, eventually they died. That's what he's saying, I'm descended from them. But yes. The question is, Uman ninu mason shech Yechezkel. So who are these mason that Yechezkel revives? Amar Rab, Elu Bnei Ephraim, Shemonu Laket V'Tol. These are the Bnei Ephraim who tried to calculate the test, the end of the Golus and Mitzrayim, and they made a mistake. You know the famous thing that they left Mitzrayim 30 years early because they thought to count the 400 years from when Abraham left, from the Bris Ben Abisarim instead of from when Yitzchak was born, and they made a mistake. Shenema, as the prophet says, Bnei Ephraim, the sons of Ephraim, Shiselach, Uvorad Bnei V'Tachas Bnei V'Elod Bnei V'Tachas Bnei V'Zovad Bnei V'Shuselach Bnei V'Ezer V'Elod. So these are all various children and descendants of Ephraim. V'Harogum Anshe Gath and Elodim V'Aretz Yisrael. The people of Gath, so the Plishtim, who were born in the land of Eretz Yisrael, killed them because they tried to invade Eretz Yisrael 30 years early. So they're the ones. Even the Pasuk continues, They tried to invade. They left Ephraim and they 30 years early and tried to invade Eretz Yisrael and the Plishtim killed them. Okay, and the pasuk continues by Abel Ephraim Aviyam Yomim. The father of Ephraim mourned for them for many days. By Avoyo Echav Lamachma, and his brothers came to be Menachem Avo, and later on he had more children. So these are the dry bones over there that now Yechezkel revived.
Like 1,000 years?
Yes, over 1,000 years later. Yeah. Or under, a little under, it's like 900 years later. Or Shmuel, Shmuel has a different opinion. Eilu b'nei Adam shekafu b'tchias emesim. The people that Yechezkel revived are people who denied tchias emesim. Shenema, as the prophet says, by Yomer Eli, the Yechezkel says, the Ebishter said to me, Ben Adam, ha'atzamay sa'ela kol beis Yisrael hema, these bones represent the whole Jewish people. Hema, hena oimim, they say, Yavshuat meseinu, our bones are dried out, ma'avdachik meseinu, our hope is gone, nigzam rodonu, we're cut off. In other words, there's no tchias emesim. So the Ebishter brought them alive to demonstrate that there is tchias emesim. According to the opinion that they died again, yeah. Rabbi Yumi Ba'aba, Eilu B'nei Adam, Shein Ben Lachlokas Shal Mitzvah. Rabbi Yumi Ba'aba says, not people who denied Tchias Mason. It's people who didn't even have a moisture of mitzvah, who had no mitzvah whatsoever. So again, they had no, it's not that they denied Tchias Mason, but they had no choice to make them worthy of Tchias Mason. Shenema, as the prophet says, someone say Yibeshis, Shimud Bar Hashem. As the prophet says, dry bones listen to the words of Hashem. In other words, they're completely dry, not just because they're dry because they've been sitting out for a while, but they're in life also, they were dry of mitzvah.
What is the
Chilas HaTamas means refreshing of bones.
Well, what does
that mean? It means like the person's bones feel refreshed. And, Rabbi Yitzchak Nachbam, Eilu B'nei Adam Shechipu Sahecho Kula Shkotim Uramasim. The people that Yechezkel revived over here are the people who, during their lifetime, they covered the walls of the Hechel with pictures of Shkotim Uramasim, of disgusting, creepy, crawly insects, and worshipped them. Shenema, as the process of the Ovei Ve'era, Uli and Sefer Yechezkel, the Yechezkel described, the Ebishter brought him to the Hechel in the Nebuah. I came and I saw, V'hinei kol tavnis remes v'hema, there's every image of creeping creatures and of animals, shekets and then disgusting creatures, called Yilulei Beis Yisrael, and all the other idols that Jewish people are worshipping, M'chuk alakir sovei v'hema, engraved on the walls all around. The walls of the Hechel, yeah. And then you have a different pasuk. The pasuk here by the dry bones that the Chazal says the Ebishter took me around on them, around. So the same word saviv implies that it was the same people. Which Marshall talks about the idea. The Chazal saw this in the Nebuah. Was he actually there physically? Not necessarily, but there was in some place in the Hechel where people were creating such images and worshiping. Marshall explains, the point is also that we mentioned specifically Shkotim or Ramasim, is because like they're the lowest level of existence. So like these adapted ones that they were engraving and worshipping, and the point is even though they were on such a low level, still they're the ones that Ebishter chose for Tchias Mason. Okay, maybe continue tomorrow. I know.
What is it, Shabbat?